And now let's talk about appropriate dress for women. I remark quite a bit about the clothing issues that are so prominent in Christian fundamentalism. If you have listened to only a few programs on this podcast, you know that in short order I can show from history that trousers are not exclusively men's apparel, that they were worn by women in the Roman Empire even when Paul was writing his epistles, and they were a traditional garment of women long before that. Similarly, that skirted garments, including robes, were worn by both genders even when Moses was handing down the law that forbade men from dressing like women and women from dressing like men. So today we will talk about the only mode of dress for women that God finds acceptable. Yes, ladies, there is one garment that you are required to wear to appear before God, and it is the only garment that He permits in His presence. And furthermore, if you wear this garment, you are assured of His favor. Even more strange, men and women alike must wear this garment before God, and this garment is the exact same on whomever it covers. No other clothing appeases His wrath against our sin, and no further additions can be made to this garment to garner God's greater approval. Only this garment is sufficient for us, and this garment is truly entirely sufficient to make us acceptable to God. Paul, writing of this incredible garment, remarked that his hope was, quote, to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul had preached to thousands, debated the gospel with the religious leaders of his day, suffered beatings, stonings, and whippings, and yet at the end, just short of martyrdom, he writes that he has no confidence in his own righteousness, but has confidence in the righteousness given to him by Christ through faith. In the Old Testament, people could not wear garments of mixed fibers, and Paul also rejects mixing our works with the righteousness of Christ. In Galatians, Paul writes, "For if righteousness were come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." It really is that stark and that separate. Only the righteousness of Christ avails with God. The only covering for our sin is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We can neither add to it nor diminish it, for it's His work performed on our behalf. Do you remember when Jesus came to John to be baptized, John the Baptist protested, "For the Son of God does not need the baptism of repentant submission to the coming kingdom. Christ is Lord of that kingdom." But Christ told John, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Christ's words in the original text literally mean permit it because it's appropriate, or you could say a necessity for us to cram in or fill up all the justification or all the righteousness. In other words, Christ was making a seamless garment, perfect in every way, not deficient anywhere, to give to us His people. Christ did every single thing right, including every little thing, to give a bountiful and flawless righteousness to His people. When our first father and mother sinned, they sewed together flimsy aprons to cover themselves, and while this worked with each other, the moment they heard the voice of God, they hid. Their flimsy, self-made garments could not cover them. God had to make a covering, and He made what the KJV calls a coat of skins for them, but what the Hebrew suggests was a wrapping of skins. God shed blood to cover His first children, our parents. Ultimately, He shed His own blood. But that covering He gives us is just as complete, a wrapping of the righteousness of Christ. This, Paul could confidently say after lamenting over his own sinfulness in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And that second clause is not a condition. Paul is not saying there is no condemnation if we walk after the Spirit. He is saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, and those people are people who walk after the Spirit in terms of their righteousness, which is what he has been discussing since chapter 1. "When we were lost, we labored in the flesh for righteousness and never got anywhere. But now that we are in Christ, we walk a different path, one already laid out for us, a path in the Spirit, which we see and believe by faith. All of our condemnation has been taken by Christ. He was condemned for us. Once we come into Christ, God sees us forever wrapped in the righteousness and favor of his Son. And ironically, this garment is identical and perfect for everybody. This is the garment that matters. God cannot be pleased by slacks or skirts or culottes or robes. He must see the righteousness of his Son, and that is what pleases him.